History Makers with Matt Prater.
Coming off of drugs, you're going to have emotional problems, but I kept chasing after God.
And he's using this vehicle to bring people out of the dark into the light.
And I went forward and I knelt at the front, and it was a radical conversion experience.
And that's where the big change happened, and that's where we decided we're going to use our music for God, we're going to change our songs.
When I was about 25-year-old, I was busted and into jail, and it was there that I came to the Lord.
History Makers with Matt Prater.
Hi and welcome to History Makers. I'm Matt Prater. Today we're chatting with Pastor Josh Wood from the Gold Coast. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. Matt, yourself?
Mate, fantastic. I'd love to know a bit of your story. Tell us your background. Where were you born and raised?
Oh, wow. I'm Gold Coast born and bred.
Okay. And did you have a religious upbringing at all?
I did, yeah. I was born into a Christian home.
And what did your parents do?
They had a couple of different things that they were doing, their own business, but in terms of the church, they were head deacons at the time. I remember growing up and finishing the communion after the service, thinking that I'd won the lottery, drinking all the leftover grape juice.
And tell us a bit about your upbringing. Did you stay following the Lord through your teenage years, or did you do the prodigal thing? Tell us your story.
Look, I had a couple of prodigal moments and sort of little seasons, but I had some pretty radical encounters with the Lord, particularly one when I was 14 that I woke up in the middle of the night, visibly saw the bright shining glory of God and heard God speak to me audibly. And so I had a couple of encounters. That was the most tremendous that really marked me in such a way that I was pretty sold out, you know, from young up.
Wow. What did God say to you?
He said a few things. There was a few things that, you know, that were personal to my life at the time, mm-hmm. things about the future. During that season, I actually began to read the Bible for the first time. And leading up to that, and I had a friend who was right. His family were into eschatology. And so I thought, this is exciting, made the Bible exciting for me. And so I'm reading Start Where Every Sane Person Does in the book of Revelation,
yep.
trying to figure it all out. And it was a bit like a, you know, conspiracy theory that had me interested. But one of the things the Lord said to me was, as a 14-year-old, he said, I don't want you to worry about what's going to come. He said, but I want you to give your life to love.
Yeah, wow. That's so good, mate. I love it. And tell us a bit about your, like, what did you do when you finished school? Did you go to, did you work straight away? Did you do uni or Bible college? What'd you do?
Pretty much most of my childhood, through my teenage years as well, I wanted to make movies. I wanted to be a writer, director. That was all I really ever wanted to do. But at the same time, I really wanted to serve the Lord. And I kind of laid that on the altar and, you know, put a couple of things in the pipeline and asked God to close the wrong doors and open the right doors. And long story short, I ended up going to Bible college, my first year out of school. And at the time, I stepped on as the youth pastor at my local church that I grew up in. And I was also involved with Gold Coast Youth Alive.
Oh, very cool. So what was that church you were part of then?
It was called Grace.
Okay, very cool. And which Bible college was it?
It doesn't exist today, but you're going to like the name. History Maker of Today, I think. History Makers of Today Training Center.
Oh, brilliant name for a Bible college.
A dream center on the Gold Coast.
Oh, yeah, okay, with Rod Gilchrist.
Yeah.
Very cool. Oh, I've been to that church before. They're a great bunch. And friends of mine were in a Christian band back then called Die Smiling. Have you ever heard of them?
I can't say I have.
they were from the Gold Coast. They were like the Christian version of Nirvana.
Okay, cool.
So, mate, tell us a bit more of your story. So what did you do after Bible college?
After Bible college, well, geez, where do we start? I guess just during that time or just after, I met my wife.
Yeah.
We met through Gold Coast Youth Alive, and so we were serving the Lord together, and we went on both of our very first mission trip to Japan with Youth Alive in 2003, I think it was. So this is a couple of years out of school now, and had God touch me in a very deep way when we were in Japan as well. But church life is, you know, sometimes challenging. And, you know, the church I was a part of pretty much my whole life growing up until that moment, the pastors, after a very difficult season, decided to step down from leading and handed the church over to the denomination. And I believe they did what was best for them and their family. But it kind of sort of ruffled the nest for us as well, you know, in terms of like, well, where does God want us? And, you know, what does the future look like for us? And so there was a few years there where, you know, I actually ended up going to film school and I was making short films. I was working in the film industry, but something was missing. And I think my concept of Christianity was God had a beef with sin. Jesus died so that we could get out of hell and get into heaven. And until then, we'd pray a prayer to go to heaven and try really hard not to sin and be faithful to local church. That was probably about the limit of my understanding. But then fast forward to the start of 2009, I had a really impactful moment with the Lord in the car one day coming home from work, and a very deep revelation that changed everything about what I understand and what it means to be a Christian.
And what was that? What did God say?
Like I said, I've been in church my whole life, been at Bible college. I've been serving as a youth pastor. I've been in and around church. I'd listen to a million different sermons. But I kind of came to this point where I'm like, if being a Christian looks like we're one person on Sunday, but during the week, our life is like a roller coaster and we really don't look much like somebody who doesn't know Jesus, surely we may as well just pray a prayer and just get beamed up to heaven. Like, there has to be more to Christianity than what I've seen or experienced. But, you know, we don't know what we don't know. I didn't know what I was missing, but I knew it in my spirit. I knew there has to be more to the Christian life than this. And that was my prayer. In that season, I was fasting a little bit, just crying out to gain understanding of what I didn't understand. And so this prayer rose out of my heart in the car that day. And I said, God, I'm sick of religion, tradition, man's opinions and good ideas on what truth is. I don't even want my own opinions, because if I knew the truth, my life wouldn't be like a roller coaster. And this prayer was just kind of come up out of my mouth that day in the car. And I heard the Lord speak to him. It wasn't audibly, but it was one of those moments where he spoke so clearly that it could have been. But it was actually the words of Jesus from John 14:6, when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I realized in an instant that truth is an information. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. And he's not only the truth about the truth, but he's the truth about who the Father is. And furthermore, he's also the truth about who I was created to be as a child of God. And so I got in the car a follower of Jesus and got out of the car a disciple of Jesus. And I dove into the Gospels because of that experience. But I did have a supernatural transformation that moment in the car. But I'm like, I've got to understand, what does Jesus mean? What does Jesus teach? Like, I'd studied it, you know what I mean? But it was like everything that I thought I knew about him was kind of like God swept the cupboard bare. And I read through the Gospels as if I was there, as if it was the very first time. And I realized that there are things that I maybe believed or been taught or experienced that I thought was Christianity. But then when I began to read the Gospels, I realized that, you know, I picked up some other ideas along the way that probably weren't quite in line with the teaching of Jesus. And so I experienced personal transformation. My whole life was just transformed. I would just, my heart was extremely tender in that season. My wife often says that in that season, she was praying and saying, God, if you don't change me like you changed Josh, I don't know if I can even stay married to him, because he's not even the same man that I married. It was that big a transformation. But I got stepped into a whole nother level of personal freedom in the Lord, and just the fruit of the Spirit that I'd never experienced before, even though I could pray in tongues and, you know, prophesy. But it was a whole different level of Christianity than I'd experienced. But as a result, miracles begin to break out. It happened first in my family, and then it would happen when I was like out at the grocery store or in the shopping center, and I was always giving me words of knowledge for people, and I was chasing people down and praying for them. And at first my wife kind of got a little embarrassed, and then after a while she was joining me. So yeah, everything changed.
You've got your own miracle healing story. You went through a battle with brain cancer. You actually collapsed in the middle of a sermon one time. Tell us all about that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'll try and give you the short version, but basically, yeah. So from 2009, for a number of years, I wasn't trying to get into ministry, but because of what was happening, people would reach out and say, hey, Josh, could you come and teach our congregation how to heal the sick, or how to move in the gifts of the Spirit. And so things just began to happen, and the Lord began to use me within the church world and preaching, teaching, and equipping the saints. And so God did a whole bunch of miracles. Many people, you know, healed of all sorts of things, including, you know, tumors and cancers. But then in 2015, I was preaching one day, and I felt a little funny, and I sat down, and then I woke up in an ambulance. They got rushed to hospital, and they did a scan of my brain and told me that I had brain cancer, brain tumor. So, yeah, it's quite, you know, there was a few-year period during that journey, which is, you know, without going into great detail and explaining it all, but ultimately, you know, they diagnosed it as a very aggressive brain tumor, and then there was a period of time where they, up until 2019, where this thing was growing, and they told me that if they operated and took it out, I wouldn't be the same Josh that was sitting in front of them. And then I left that appointment with my wife, Elise, and I said, well, we need a miracle. Like, that's what we were believing for. I was trying to just be a good steward of my body. And all through that season, I was preaching. I was seeing God do miracles. You know, people wouldn't have known, but I had that diagnosis. And then we were in Texas. I seizured twice, and both times it was when I was preaching. But that whole season started in 2015 with the devil coming into my bedroom, and I had basically war waged against me for a couple of years there. But in 2019, so 4 years later, I'm in Texas. I'm ministering at a church in San Marcos. I had a word of knowledge, and someone stood up and were healed. And I actually had a seizure and fell. My wife caught me in same kind of situation. I woke up in a hospital in Texas. And ultimately, I've seen God do a lot of things. And when I go to places like Papua New Guinea and, you know, other countries where most people will get immunization and take malaria tablets, for me, I'm like, I want to grow to a place where Jesus is everything that I need. You know, Jesus didn't have an anti-leprosy injection before I laid hands on the lepers. Not that I'm against medicine. I'm not against doctors. I think it's great, and God absolutely can use that, but my own personal conviction for my own life. So there's a little period there where I'm like wrestled with it, and I'm like, I don't want to have an operation. I don't want to do, you know, but we were in Austin in the hospital, and Austin is the most liberal city in all of Texas. And the day that I came in, there just happened to be a born again, spirit filled brain surgeon walk in, you know, on that day. So wow. I became his patient. Through that season, I began to open up the possibility of, hey, you know, maybe they could do an operation. But it was, you know, I was really a little torn. But, you know, one of my mentors, Dan Moeller, you know, part of his counsel at the time was, it's so important as a husband and wife to be in unity together, and find a place where we could both be in faith around that operation and around, so that we weren't divided.
Yeah.
Because I was ready to walk out of the hospital. And one time I had a doctor, you know, literally throw the scans on my hospital bed and storm out of the room because, you know, I'm talking about leaving the hospital. And they're like, you're crazy. But we found, my wife and I found a place of faith with believing that, you know, I would allow them to do the surgery because it was pretty big, Matt. It was, you know, like the size, I can't remember now, it was at least the size of a big orange.
Oh my goodness.
In my head. It was huge. And so my wife and I found a place of agreement and that we would allow them to do the operation and believe that, you know, God had the rest covered. So we did. I had the operation 4th of July, 2019. It was meant to be 4 hours. It ended up taking 11 hours. And because of where it was and the sensitivity of that area, et cetera, they actually could only take about a third of it out. Sorry, it's a little graphic. Your discretion, you know, advisory. So, yeah, but through that season there, you know, there was a bunch of things the Lord had spoken to me personally and also through other people prophetically that became my bread. It's what I lived off. And one of the things the Lord said to me, he said, who told you that you have cancer? And it took me back to the garden where Adam said, I hid because I was naked. And God said, who told you that you are naked? And I knew in the moment, God saying, if I didn't tell you that you have cancer, why would you believe that you have cancer? So my perspective was being shaped through that season. God was definitely cleansing out areas of unbelief that, you know, I didn't know that I had. And really just honing my position of being fully convinced. So I would go into those meetings, you know, from that moment forward, because they, you know, after they tested the cancer, they said, you know, at best case scenario, even if you had chemo, even if you had radiation, best case scenario, you would have 18 months to live.
Wow.
And obviously they couldn't take it all out. And so anyway, so I just, you know, I went through the process, but I just stood in faith that whole time. And I would tell the doctors, hey, I know that you might think that I'm crazy, but one of these days, these scans are going to show you what I already know to be true. And that's that I don't have cancer. And they did think I was crazy. but I went through from a journey from believing to being fully convinced.
Mm.
And I'll never forget the day. It was maybe September, October 2019. So it was maybe like 4 or 5 months later after that emergency surgery that I walked into the oncologist's office with my wife. And I can honestly say, Matt, that I had just as much joy and peace walking into that meeting as I did walking out. But when I walked in, the oncologist showed me my most recent scans. And he puts people, you know, through treatment all day, every day. This is his job. And he said, Josh, he said, I've never seen anything like this. He said, whatever you're doing, it's working. Keep doing it. And I said, praying, believing. He said, well, keep praying because it's working. And so, you know, I've had conversations with multiple oncologists and neurosurgeons. And they've all told me things like best case scenario, 1 out of 10 people, it might stabilize. But everyone that I spoke to have all said they've never seen it disappear.
Wow.
So within a few months after that specific conversation, every trace of it had gone. And that was, I guess over 6 years ago now.
Wow. Praise God.
God. Here I am.
It's such a great testimony. And, you know, you and I had coffee recently and I was able to hear that story and I thought, I've got to share that on the radio. That's a great testimony. if people want to find out more about your ministry, I know you do an itinerant traveling ministry and you're That's creating right. lots of content as well. If people want to find out, what's the best website to go to?
Well, we're just in the process of setting up a new website at the moment, but probably the best thing to do is you can follow me on Facebook or Instagram, on Insta. My handle is @HelloJoshWood. And on Facebook, it's just Josh Wood. But that's probably the best way because we've just transitioned out of being senior leaders of a local church to now stepping into itinerant ministry. And I'm writing books and creating resources and things. So, yeah, that's probably the best way to get in touch.
So good, mate. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story today, and it's a wonderful testimony of God's healing power, and I know the Lord's going to continue to use you to minister to many people over the years to come. Josh Wood, I reckon you're a history maker. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Matt. You too, buddy. God bless you.
If you'd like to hear this conversation again, listen online anytime at historymakersradio.com. There you'll also find links to all of our social media channels and you can subscribe to our iTunes podcast. History Makers is a faith-based ministry and we want to thank everyone for their generous support. If you've got a suggestion of anyone we should interview, send us an email, info@historymakersradio.com. God bless. I'm Matt Prater and my challenge to you now is to go and make history.
Looking for fashion that feels like you? Kindred Boutique is where style meets heart. From effortlessly chic outfits to those little details that make all the difference, Kindred Boutique curates pieces you'll love wearing again and again. Thoughtfully chosen, beautifully made, perfect for every day and special moments. Because at Kindred Boutique, it's not just about clothes, it's about connection. Discover your new favourites at Kindred Boutique. Shop online now at kindredboutique.com.au. Find your style, find your people.